the next day at verse 22. And it says, on the following day. So after all these things have happened, a very massively eventful day with a huge miracle and a very eventful night for the disciples, rowing against a storm and then seeing Jesus walk on the water and then appearing on the other side of the lake. It says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There's a very important word that appears in this passage a lot, and that word is bread. So I'm going to start by making a small confession that I actually really like bread. It won't be much of a surprise to most of you, but I actually like bread. I like bread when it's fresh. I like it particularly when it's got butter and honey on it. Bethany, you'd know that. Or jam. Or when you soak the honey in and then you put cream on top. Only on holidays I get to do that. I like a baguette loaf. I like it with ham and cheese and maybe some pineapple, turn it into a Hawaiian loaf. I like Herbie Fields soda bread, particularly with soup. It's nice. I like garlic bread. I like pizza. Pizza's bread. It has nice, doughy, thick base. Nice, simple toppings. I like roti bread. I like a nice green curry, and I like to scoop it out with some roti. I like naan bread. I like to have butter chicken and you have naan bread on the side. And one of my real-time favourites is when I have to go to Melbourne for work, I love dropping into Stalactites and they get a nice gyros bread and they put it on the plate and they warm it up. And they put a little bit of oil on it and then they wrap it around spit roast meat. I really like that. That's a good way to eat bread. And it's a really good bread. So I suspect that you probably like bread too, and I'm thinking you're probably all a little bit hungry by now. But you'll notice there's lots of different types of bread. There's lots of different ways that we eat bread. It is such a fundamental in so much of our diet and in so many different cultures and diets from around the world. We did a little trip around the globe there. There's lots of different ways you can make it. You can use wheat flour, you can use corn flour, you can use rye flour, you can use barley, you can use semolina, rice, keep going. If you can grow it as a grain and you can grind it up, you can make bread with it. There's lots of different ways of leavening that bread. You can use straight yeast, you can use bicarb soda for soda bread, you can use sourdough, you can use yogurt. There's all sorts of different ways of doing it. There's lots of different shapes, lots of different ways of cooking it, different temperatures, different durations, different ways of letting it rise before you cook it. It all gives different crusty effects, different outcomes to the bread. Almost every culture has some form of bread as one of the basic foods within its diet. It's a staple food. And that doesn't mean it has to be a big fluffy loaf, like we often seem to buy. It can be those flatbreads. But there's nearly always some form of bread that people eat with a meal when they just want to do that simple cooking. And it turns out that the Jews also liked bread. Jesus had fed a crowd of possibly some 20,000 people with bread and fish, and they liked it. They liked it a lot. It was very simple, but it was obviously very satisfying because everyone was full and they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. And it was so satisfying to have this simple, basic food that the next day when they couldn't find Jesus, they went, let's go around the lake, let's find him. Because they wanted to get some more of that bread. They had an idea in their head. We've just found free bread. They liked that idea. They liked the idea that Jesus could make bread appear and feed them. Only problem, Jesus wasn't fooled by that. He knew what they were there for, because it tells us that Jesus, as soon as they came to him and said, what are you doing here? You're on the other side of the lake. He said, yeah, but you didn't come to hear me talk. You call me teacher, but you didn't come to hear me talk. You came because I gave you bread. You seek me because you ate the loaves and were filled. It was pretty basic. Jesus had supplied one of their most fundamental needs, and they liked it. But, as I said, John's Gospel rarely records an event for us randomly. There's always linked to something. And right now, Jesus used this episode of feeding 5,000 men as an illustration to the people, and he used their reaction to teach them. Because he then turns around and says, do not labor for the food which perishes, i.e. the bread. When he says labor, they've had to work for this. They've had to go around the lake, either row or run. But for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Jesus is making an important point. There is food for the body. But more importantly, there is food for the soul. Now, importantly, the people who heard this actually had a good reaction. Because they turn to Jesus and say, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus had said, don't work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures. So they instantly went, oh, you've got to work for the food which endures. So what do we have to do that we can work for this food? So they sought to get it, but they hadn't quite got Jesus' point here. And Jesus says very simply, this is the work of God that you believe in him whom he sent. It's very simple. You don't have to do lots. You just have to believe. Okay, the Jews say, we get that. But what are you going to do to prove to us that we should believe in you? They say, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe in you? These guys have goldfish memory. So they've literally just gone around a lake or across a lake to chase a guy for food that appeared from basically nothing. And they stand there and go, are you going to do something that we may understand that you can do signs and wonders? What are you going to do about this? It's a slightly strange dialogue when you think it through, but it's interesting that John records it for us in its full detail. Because the Jews then jump into this idea of free bread. They say, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. So that's jumping back to the Exodus, when God made a bread of sorts appear, called manna, every morning, and the people would collect it. They didn't have to do a lot for it, they just had to go out and collect it each morning. And they say, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. So they're still angling for that free bread. They're still saying to Jesus, we want this free bread. But Jesus wasn't offering them bread today. He'd already given them that sign. He had performed an amazing miracle the day before. And now he was wanting to teach them that there is food for the body and there is food for the soul. And he wanted to teach them about the food which endures to everlasting life. He wanted to teach them about the bread of life. In verses 32 and 33 of our reading, Jesus responds to the Jews standing around him. And he says, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. He says, Moses didn't give it to you. Yes, Moses was around at the time, but he wasn't the one making the bread appear. He says, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. There's more recurring words there. That idea of life keeps coming back up. Because when you break it down, what that sentence says is, my Father gives true bread from heaven, and the bread from God is he who gives life. Which Jesus then turns around and clarifies by making the amazing statement to them that I am the bread of life. He's been leading them along in the conversation. And they just haven't been quite getting it. So Jesus gets to a point where he says, right, I'm going to make it really easy for you. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now we started by thinking about bread as that basic food that we all enjoy. And Jesus is saying, I am that sustenance. I am that source of food that gives everlasting life. The image wasn't lost on his hearers. Jesus makes this statement indirectly in verse 33, but then here very clearly in verse 35, and he repeats it again further on in the passage in verse 48. It's a very clear claim that Jesus makes, that he is the bread of life. As he'd said earlier, the food that endures to everlasting life. So he's not just talking about life here on earth. He's talking about something much, much bigger. He's talking about everlasting or eternal life. And he goes on to say that he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We've got to remember, we're talking not about food for the body here. Jesus isn't saying that if you believe in him, you'll never have to eat food or have a drink again. He's not talking in the physical sense here. He's talking spiritually, that he who comes to Jesus will never hunger, will never have a need of searching, of thinking that there is no purpose in life. Jesus is saying that he is everything we need. He is food and drink for everlasting life. And he goes on again further on in the passage in verse 40 to explain this. You'll have noticed that in this passage, it's a very simple message that Jesus is giving here. It doesn't have a lot of themes. If you were to highlight half a dozen words in this passage, I'd start with bread. You'd go to life. You'd go believe. Jesus repeats again and again the same message to teach the people what he is trying to say, that he is the bread of life and what that means. Because in verse 40 he says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Again, believe in him and have everlasting life. Jesus doesn't make it complicated. He didn't make it complicated for the people the day before when he gave them physical food. They had to turn up. He doesn't make it complicated here about obtaining spiritual food and obtaining spiritual life. Believe in him. The word believe occurs 10 times in this passage in John 6. It occurs in the positive sense of you need to believe, and in those who did not believe. But it's one of the key themes here. Jesus makes important statements about how we obtain this bread of life. In verse 27, he says that it's food which the Son of Man will give you. In verse 29, says that you believe in him. In verse 32, my Father gives you the true bread. In verse 35, he who comes to me shall never hunger. In verse 35 again, he who believes in me shall never thirst. In verse 37, he who comes to me I'll by no means cast out. There's nothing complicated in any of those statements. There was no requirement. The Jews thought they'd have to do something. They asked, what work do we have to do? They thought they'd have to earn it. They thought they'd have to complete some task. We aren't told that we get a little nibble and we will keep needing more and more of this bread of life. We aren't told that God will give us a thimbleful of liquid so that not only do we thirst, but we thirst more. That strange thing when you have a tiny bit of drink, but it's not satisfying. No, not at all. This passage says that God freely gives us opportunity for this bread of life. Again, Son of Man will give it to you. My Father gives you the true bread. You come to Jesus, he says twice. And then that very simple statement, how do you obtain it? You believe in him. So what are we believing in? Believing that Jesus was the Son of God, come down from heaven for the forgiveness of sins. He'd said that earlier. You need to believe in the one whom the Father has sent. Because it's only Jesus that can satisfy and take away the penalty for sins. But importantly, it's not just believing in Jesus for the sake of believing in him. It's believing in him because he gives everlasting life. Satisfaction that Jesus gives, as I said, he says you will never hunger or thirst. You'll never hunger or thirst spiritually. You'll never live your life wishing that there was a purpose, because God will show you that there is not just a purpose to life, but that he has satisfied all your needs spiritually. It isn't just a satisfaction for this week. It isn't just a satisfaction for this year. It isn't even just for this life. It says it's for everlasting life. It's for eternity. That's an incredible gift that God has given us. That we would never hunger or thirst. That we would never have anything more that we would need. Jesus is the bread of life. He says, he who comes to Jesus will never hunger, and he who believes in him will never thirst. It's an amazing offer. We eat physical bread and we feel full. But the next day, we need more. We have a drink, but it's been a hot day. I can assure you, you probably needed more than one to feel satisfied. That's food for the physical body. But Jesus says, spiritually, he and he alone is able to satisfy. He is the bread of life. And it isn't complicated. We need to believe in him to receive this. He doesn't need us to do 1,000 things. He doesn't need us to fulfill a whole list of requirements. It just says simply, believe. Amen.